ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्वी नावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं चैव ततो जयमुदीरयेत्. Very good. Welcome back. We'll continue. We're in the midst of a topic in which two chapters we're seeing together. In the first chapter, you might remember, remember we are now in the Aranyaka Parva, the Vana Parva. They're all in the forest for their exile. And we saw Draupadi starting to complain to Yudhishthira. She has pretty good reason to complain. She's just been kicked out of her palace. How would you feel if you got kicked out of your house and made to live in a forest wearing tree bark? Anyway, you can imagine her anger. And she starts to vent her anger at Yudhishthira, the eldest of her husbands. And part of her frustration is that Yudhishthira is not angry. She's angry, and she feels, you should also be angry. Look what Duryodhana did to us. You should also be angry. And then we saw at the beginning of the current chapter that Yudhishthira said, come on, anger is not going to help anyone. In fact, let me just summarize some of what we've already studied and make a very important point, which we'll introduce today's class. And that is, anger is your enemy. In fact, it's counted among the shadari. In this tradition, we have two words called, let me put some of this up on the board, it might be helpful for you. Two expressions, I'll keep it all in English so you can read it. It's either called shadari or shadripu, which means six enemies. These are your six biggest enemies in life. And the irony, of course, as you all know, is that the enemies are not outside. The enemies are not the mother-in-law or the obnoxious boss or the difficult neighbor. These are the enemies inside of us. Namely, kama, desire, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, delusion, infatuation, mada, pride, matsarya, jealousy, we'll call it, kama, desire, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, infatuation, mada, pride, matsarya, what did I say? Jealousy. All right. So we can think of these as the enemies, which are the ones that will derail your life more than anything else. They're called, enemy means that which deprives you. What does it mean to be an enemy? An enemy is that which can deprive you of happiness and peace in life. Wouldn't that be a very basic definition? That which deprives you of peace and happiness in life is inimical. It's your enemy. Well, the most, suppose you, in the presence of your obnoxious boss or difficult mother-in-law, suppose you felt none of these. Possible, of course. You could be in the presence of your obnoxious boss or a difficult person. You could feel none of these, so doesn't that demonstrate that that obnoxious boss or your mother-in-law or whoever you think is your enemy is not truly the one who deprives you of happiness and peace in life? What is it that deprives you of happiness and peace? All six of these. And all six of these are within you. That's why they are called as a set, the Shad-Adi or Shad-Ripu, the six enemies, the six factors inside of you that can deprive you of peace and happiness in life. And our current discussion is about this one. We'll call it public enemy number two. Public enemy number two is Krodha, anger. And as we saw in the prior classes, Draupadi was having a real problem with his anger. She was angry she's angry at Duryodhana for bringing about the dice game that caused them to be exiled from their kingdom. And she's even angry at Yudhishthira, as I said moments ago, because he's not angry. I'm angry. You should be as angry as me. And we had some discussion about her expectations. When we expect other people to behave the way we think they should, can I just make a comment about this? The most ridiculous thing we do in life is we have expectations that such and such a person should behave like this. First of all, are you a mind reader? If you're not a mind reader, you have no idea what that person is going to do. Secondly, who are we to pass judgment on others in terms of what they should or should not do? It is just ridiculous whenever we make a conclusion that such and such a person should do this, shouldn't do that. And look how our language is. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. We say that every day. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shows our really self-focused orientation. We view the world through our own lens, naturally. So when we say, you should do this, what does it mean? It would be best for me if you do that. Isn't that what it means? You should do this means it's best for me if you do this. You shouldn't do that means what? It would be best for me if you didn't do that. This is that self-focused orientation that pervades all conventional human thought. Conventional human thought is not so great. We can do much, much, much better, which is why we're studying these particular chapters in the Mahabharata. So, Draupadi has been conquered by public enemy number two. It has conquered her in a sense that it's overwhelmed her and it's making her suffer. And just to make that very clear, she's angry at Duryodhana. Does her anger hurt Duryodhana in any way? Duryodhana could care less. In fact, Duryodhana is delighted. And if Draupadi is really angry, Duryodhana would be even happier, because knowing that he's made her even more miserable. So the anger that Draupadi feels is burning in her gut, making her miserable, making her suffer. She has been conquered by the enemy of Krodha. Yudhishthira, on the other hand, has broken free from that enemy of anger. By the way, it doesn't happen on its own. Some of you would say apne aap. It doesn't work like that. It takes a lot of hard work and effort to defeat any kind of enemy in life, to defeat a physical enemy, you can imagine. Especially for a kshatriya like Yudhishthira, he has to fight. So you can imagine what it would take to conquer an enemy on the battlefield. One could argue that to conquer these enemies within you is even more difficult than conquering the enemies on the battlefield. On the other hand, conquering these enemies within you is more crucial than conquering the enemies on the battlefield. Yudhishthira, being a remarkably mature person, has conquered the enemy of anger. And so he tells Draupadi in a prior verse. He says, Why should I be angry? Being angry is only going to hurt me. It's not going to do anything good. And just to remind you, just one before we plunge into this next sequence of verses, this idea of righteous anger. I have a right to be angry. Look what they did. My anger is justified. What you're saying is, your misery is justified. Your suffering is justified. What another ridiculous statement. This idea of justified anger. Anger is your enemy. All right. And we did also make the point that is, if you meet injustice, you know, this is a common argument that's often brought up. Swamiji, how can I not get angry in the face of this injustice? So Pandavas are faced with terrible injustice. They've been cheated out of their whole kingdom. How unjust is that? The point is that you should meet injustice with justice, not with anger. How will anger make the situation better? I think it was in the last class. We missed, of course, last week due to the snow, but I think 2 weeks ago we discussed how if you are met with injustice, if there's a problem, you're confronting a problem, if you get really, really, really angry, will that anger make you more effective in handling that problem or less effective in handling that problem? So let's just recognize anger for what it is. It's one of these six enemies, Shadari. There's no way to justify or rationalize anger. It is your enemy. So let's pick up the thread. Yudhishthira continues to explain, actually to teach. He's really teaching Draupadi the value of forgiveness, kshama. Because how to get rid of this anger? You get rid of the anger by forgiveness, by dropping the blame. So she blames Duryodhana for all of their misery. And because she blames Duryodhana, by the way, is she miserable because, this is very fundamental Vedanta, is she miserable because she is in the forest, or is she miserable because of these six enemies? Right? Especially number one. She wants to be in her comfortable palace. She wants to be wearing her elaborate dresses. She wants everything to be like it was. Kama, public enemy number one. Suppose she was in the forest and had none of these six enemies. She'd be fine. She'd be enjoying the forest. It'd be a holiday, a vacation. So, let's be very clear. She's not miserable because of being in the forest. She's miserable because, in this case, because of her anger. And therefore, Yudhishthira wants to teach her how to become free from her anger, and she can be free from anger through kshama. Kshama means forgiveness, and that's our topic here. Manyor hi vijayam krishne, manyor hi vijayam prashamsantiha sadavaha, prashamsantiha sa kshamavato jayo nityam, kshamavato jayo sadhor hi hasatam matam, sadhor hi hasatam. He, indeed, manyoho vijayam, manyu means anger, manyoho vijayam, conquering anger, sadhavaha, good people, prashamsanti, they praise, iha, here in the world, sadhavaha, good people, prashamsanti, they praise. What do they praise? The vijayam, the conquering of what? Manyuhu, of anger, of public enemy. Number two, they praise. Krishna, O Krishna. He addresses Draupadi as Krishna, actually Krishna in the feminine gender. And you might, you know, it's actually not a very nice name because it means dark one. And I suppose someone who has a dark complexion might be called Krishna. So it doesn't sound really nice. I have a feeling that name comes for a different reason. If we remember, the story is so complex, remember Draupadi, along with her brother Drishtadyumna, were born from a sacrificial fire. And remember, I don't want to go, the whole story is very complex. So they were born from a sacrificial fire, and the fire means all the smoke and charcoal, I suppose, and maybe something having to do with being born of the smoky fire. She is addressed as Krishna. Krishna means O Krishna, O Dark One, O Draupadi. O Draupadi, conquering anger is praised by good people. Kshama vataha jayaha nityam. Kshama vataha, one who has kshama, one who is forgiving. And forgiving here, remember, forgiveness is the antidote to anger, right? If somebody hurts you, you get angry. If you forgive them, will you be angry? If you really, truly forgive them, and we'll talk quite a bit more about the root of this forgiveness, if in the presence of complete forgiveness, there can be no anger. So we could say that forgiveness is an antidote for anger. To get rid of the anger, we require an antidote. What is that antidote? Kshama, forgiveness. Of course, how that forgiveness occurs, we have to discuss. We'll discuss that just a little bit later. So right here he says, kshama vataha, one who has forgiveness, jayaha nityam, is always victorious. How can you say that? One who has forgiveness is, if you forgive your enemies, you'll be victorious. Depends on how you define victory. Would you define victory as being happy and content and peaceful? That would be a good definition of victory. So if you forgive all your enemies, and your enemies continue to be wealthy and powerful, but because of your forgiveness, you have gotten rid of one or even all of these enemies, doesn't that mean that you enjoy peace and happiness and contentment? And wouldn't that be a good definition of victory? What, you know, if you have an enemy, what is really victory? Is victory to kill the enemy, or is victory for you to be happy and content? And if you can be happy and content in spite of the enemy, then what is the problem? So that's why here Yudhishthira says, kshama vataha, one who is forgiving, jayaha nityam, is always victorious because they have conquered the real enemies, the enemies who are within. Sadoho iha satamatam. This is the matam, this is the opinion, this is the teaching of sadhoho satam, of the best of people, the good people among the good people, the best of all people. This is their opinion, is being forgiving, even to forgive your enemies, is a blessing to you. And he continues. Yadi nasyur manusheshu, yadi nasyur manushe, kshamina prativi samaha, kshamina prativi, nasyat sandhir manushyanam, nasyat sandhir manu, krodhamulo hi vigraha, krodhamulo. This is a comment on human nature that's as meaningful today as it was 2,000 years ago when Yudhishthira might have said this. He says, yadi, if, kshaminaha na syuhu, we have to connect these words. If forgiving people, Shaminaha, if forgiving people, nasyuhu, if they didn't exist, if there were no forgiving people, manushyeshu, amongst all people, if there were no forgiving people amongst all people, then what? Nasyat sandhihi manushyanam. Then there could be no peace. Sandhi here means peace. Nasyat sandhihi, there could be no peace, manushyanam, amongst people. Forgiveness, if there's a conflict between two people, how will that conflict be solved? Usually, both, yeah, there's maybe several ways you might think. The ideal situation is both of them might give in. How often does that happen? Okay. The other possibility is both of them might kill each other. That's not much of a solution. Or A might kill B, or B might kill A. None of those are particularly good solutions. In order to bring about peace, sandhi, it only takes one. One person who refuses to fight. Because if you refuse to fight, how can the other person go on attacking you when you have refused to fight? I know this sounds a little counterproductive because we think of war on a battlefield. And I agree this may not apply very well to war on a battlefield. But it refers to other kinds of battlefields, like the battlefield inside your home sometimes, when people disagree on how things should be at home, like when spouses disagree. So if one spouse says we should do this, and the other spouse says we should do that, how will that go? So it can be war, depending on what the issue is. What's amazing, though, if one, and suppose they go on fighting and shouting and arguing, it happens sometimes. All it takes is for one of them to say, okay. It's over. They could be fighting over this for weeks and months and years, and all it takes is one, either one, to say, okay. And why would you say okay if what you really want is inner peace, absence of anger, public enemy number two? Maybe saying okay is better than holding out for your will to be imposed on the home situation, for you to prevail in what you want. All it takes is one person. This was also Gandhi's, one of his strategies of non-violent resistance, Gandhiji. By the way, I just happened to see an article. Today is his death anniversary. Martyr's Day, they call it in India, his death anniversary. I think 68 years, if I remember right, 68 years ago, he was assassinated. Sadly, just a complete side, very sad. At the time of his assassination, he judged himself to have totally failed, because India's partition had been so bloody. And he held himself responsible for that, and he blamed himself. So when he was assassinated, he really, a very, very tragic end to a very noble life. Anyway, sorry for the complete aside. But that's a great example. Remember the story both in South Africa and later in India, where he told his followers, don't resist. And now you can imagine the policeman is hitting you with a stick. And if you don't resist, how long is this policeman going to go on hitting you with the stick? If you're not resisting, eventually, it may take time, eventually this policeman is going to realize, hey, they're not resisting, why am I hitting them with the stick? It works, sort of. It was sort of, because you still get hit with that stick. But that is the principle that's being taught here, and that is someone has to back down. He says, Yadi nasyuhu kshaminaha, if there were no forgiving person, manusheshu, amongst all people in this world, then nasyat sandihi manushyanam, then there could be no peace amongst people. Why? He, because krodha mulaha vigraha. Vigraha, conflict, has its roots in krodha, in anger. So wherever there's anger, there's conflict, but wherever there is kshama, forgiveness, there's no anger, therefore no conflict. And there's a metaphor I have to come back to, but I'll just give one modern example of how the absence of forgiveness just leads to unending strife. I feel so sad when I see news reports of what goes on between the Palestinians and Israelis. Not only there, but that's such a dramatic example of a conflict that's been going on now for like two generations. And what happens is a Palestinian kills a Jew. So then what do? The Jews will kill a Palestinian, and the Palestinian will kill another Jew, and the Jews will kill more Palestinians. And it's just this tit-for-tat thing that's been going on for 60, 70 years now. And sadly, it doesn't look optimistic even today. In fact, it looks like it can continue for another 60, 70 years. All it would take is for one side or another to say enough. Suppose tomorrow the Palestinians said enough. What would the Jews do? They would give the Palestinians their state. Suppose the Jews said tomorrow, the Jews said enough. What would the Palestinians do? They'd stop attacking. All it would take is for one side or the other to stop, and that conflict would be resolved forever. But it takes one. Takes one side, takes one of the members of the conflict to say enough, to drop the anger, to be forgiving. It takes one. And what a beautiful metaphor that's given here. That somebody has to be kshaminaha. People have to be forgiving. Forgiving like what? Prativi samaha. Just like the earth is forgiving. You have to it's a nice metaphor, but you have to understand it from a typical Hindu point of view. And from a Hindu point of view, there's some impurity associated with the soles of our feet. And generally, you wouldn't put the soles of your feet on your mother. What about when you put the soles of your feet on this earth, on Bhumata, Mother Earth? So here we are every day walking with our dirty feet, with our shoes on, walking all over Bhumata, our Mother Earth, and what is her response? Kshama. She's absolutely forgiving, absolutely tolerant. So this is a metaphor. Just as the earth tolerates our feet without any anger whatsoever, in the same way, we can learn how to tolerate those we don't like without any anger, without any resentment. Okay, next verse. Continuing. Akrushtastadita kruddha. Akrushtastadita kruddha. Kshamate yo baliyasa. Kshamate yo baliyasa. Yascha nityam jita krodho, yascha nityam jita krodho, vidvan huttama purushaha, vidvan huttama purushaha. Yaha, in the second line, yo is yaha, one who is akrushtaha, usually translated cursed. If you are cursed by someone, or if you are taditaha, if you are beaten by someone, or if you are kruddhaha, if you are angered by someone. So if you're cursed, beaten, or angered by someone baliyasa, by someone who's stronger than you are, by the bully. If you are bullied by someone, yaha kshamate, the one who is capable of forgiving. Even when you are bullied, the one who is capable of forgiving, yaha cha nityam jita krodaha, yaha cha, and the one who is nityam, always jita krodaha, always in control of anger. Imagine being bullied by someone. Okay, it happens. Being bullied by someone, let's give a concrete example. You're driving, and there's an aggressive driver on the road, and they're like cutting you off for doing something really obnoxious to you. You are being taditaha, beaten by them, so to speak. You are being kruddaha, angered by them. And if they roll down the window, you might be akrushtaha, you might be cursed by them. If they shout out the window, and they are baliyasa, stronger than you, their car is bigger than yours. You're riding a little compact, they have this big SUV. All right, so that's the setup. So here's the point, you're being bullied by this big SUV. What are they, Range Rover? Is that the name of that big car? Something like that? Anyway, so whatever is a big car. So that big car is the bully. You are being bullied by this big car. You're driving your little Toyota or whatever it is. You're being bullied. But watch. If you become angry, who wins? Right? If you become angry, they win. You lose. How do you lose? You're now miserable. You're driving your little Toyota. Moments ago you were fine. Now you're bullied by this big SUV, and now you feel angry and hurt and miserable and scared and all of this stuff. You lose. On the other hand, yaha chad nityam jita krodaha, one who is always in control of their anger. One who has always conquered the anger. Public enemy number two. One who has conquered the enemy of anger. What about that person? Nice expression here. That person is vidvan. That person is truly wise. Doesn't mean scholarly here. It means truly wise. That person is uttama purushaha. Purushaha means the same as purusha. That person is the best. Uttama purusha. That is the best person. That person is truly wise. One who doesn't get angered. So when that driver is on the road, you should get away from them, right? But getting angry doesn't help. In fact, when you get angry, and this is a very weird thing that happens, a so-called road rage, you've heard of this happening. Road rage is when you get so angry at the other driver that you try to get back at the other driver. That's when your anger is uncontrolled. It can lead to this road rage. People have been shot, you know this, as a result of this road rage. Anger is so powerful as to overcome someone's thinking and reasoning, leading them in that moment of anger to this altercation on the road. It's happened many times. Somebody has pulled out a gun and shot. What a terrible consequence of anger. But we're talking here about the one who is jita krodaha, one whose anger is always under control. Okay, Yudhishthira in the next verse is going to introduce something new. Atrapyudaharanti ma, atrapyudaharanti, gatha nityam kshamavatam, gatha nityam kshama, gita kshamavata krishne, gita kshamavata krishne, kashyapena mahatmana, kashyapena mahat. Atra, here, regarding this topic, is what? How to become free from anger by cultivating kshama, by cultivating forgiveness. So, atra api, with regard to this subject matter, udaharanti, there is an example. An example which is imaha gataha. These stories. This word gatha is very evocative. Gatha means not just any story. A story told by a holy person is a gatha. A story told by a holy person, a story with a message, a spiritual message or a moral message. So these are the stories that have been passed around from generation to generation to generation, told by holy people, stories with wonderful spiritual and moral messages. So imaha gataha, these stories which are kshamavatam, about forgiveness. Stories about forgiveness. These stories were nityam gitaha, were constantly told. Constantly told by one particular person. They were told gitaha, the stories were sung, means the stories were told. Told by whom? Kashyapena, by Kashyapa. Some of you know Kashyapa, who was a very illustrious sage, one of Brahma's Manasaputras, the son of Brahmaji. Here it's not Kashyapa, but Kashyapa, someone different. In fact, coming from the same lineage, the word Kashyapa literally means in the lineage of Kashyapa. And some scholars think that this Kashyapa is someone named Kanva, who was 20 generations after Kashyapa. Anyway, that's what they think. Anyway, so there is some rishi named Kashyapa. What about this Kashyapa? He is kshamavata. He is a very forgiving person. So this rishi named Kashyapa, who is kshamavat, who is a very forgiving person, who is mahatma, who is a very great person, a very saintly person. So by this saintly and forgiving person, rishi named Kashyapa, these gataha, these holy stories about kshamavatam, about forgiveness, they were gitaha. They've been told, these holy stories. So now Yudhishthira is going to narrate whatever the story was of Kashyapa. And here we get a story within a story within a story within a story. Right? Because on the outermost story, we have Sauti is narrating this to Shaunaka. Then inside of that story, we have Vaishampayana, who is narrating all of this to Jayamejaya. And then inside of that, we have Yudhishthira, who is talking to Draupadi. And inside of that, we have the story of Kashyapa. A story within a story within a story within a story. So let's see that story. Kashyapuvacha, Kashyapuva, kshama dharma kshama yajnaha, kshama dharma kshama, kshama veda kshama shutam, kshama veda kshama. Yastam hevam vijanati, yastam veda sa sarvam kshantum arhati, sa sarvam kshantum. So Kashyapa, in his gatha, in his story, he says, or literally he sings, he's very poetic, he says, kshama dharmaha, forgiveness is dharma. Kshama yajnaha. Forgiveness is worship, yajna. Kshama vedaha. Kshama is a central message of the Vedas. Kshama shrutam. Kshama is what we have heard from all of our scriptures. So here, Kashyapa is pointing to the very central nature of forgiveness. Central nature of forgiveness because, after all, anger is public enemy number two, which means it is a prevalent problem, a problem that afflicts almost everyone. And the antidote to that problem of anger is kshama. Now, after that little bit of praise, you know, so far he's not teaching anything, but now watch what he says. Yaha tam eva vijanati. One who vijanati knows tam, that forgiveness. One who really understands that forgiveness. Saha sarvam kshantum arhati. Saha, that person who really understands, kshantum arhati, is able to forgive sarvam, everything. One who really understands is able to forgive everything. Now, this is a big, big statement. You can imagine being able to forgive little things. And as you all do, every day you go through little trials and little difficulties and you forgive. But there are certain not so little things. There are a few really big things that have happened to you that you find extraordinarily difficult to forgive. But here, Kashyapa says, with proper understanding, you can forgive anything. Sarvam kshantum arhati. And he means it. Now, let's examine this. How can one possibly forgive everything? And some of this we discussed in our meditation. Some of you were in our meditation session earlier, and we chose deliberately to do a meditation on forgiveness. So we've already discussed this to some extent in that meditation class. Some of you weren't in that class, so let's come back to those same points. And in that meditation, we made it very clear that forgiveness is not a willful act. You cannot choose to forgive. Just like you can't. So we said forgiveness is the antidote to anger. Do you choose to get angry? It happens to you. You don't. Can you choose not to be angry? That's interesting. There are times when the situation is so overwhelming, you can't even choose not to be angry. Because anger is an emotion, and we don't have direct, willful control over our emotions. That's just a fact. And if you, some people really doubt when I make that statement, it's a very bold statement, you have no willful direct control over your emotions. And some of you think, well, wait a minute, we've always been told to control our emotions. Okay, I know you've been told to control your emotions, and you should. I said you have no direct control of your emotions. And evidence of that is we have to do this experiment. We've done this before. We'll do it one more time very briefly. If you think you have conscious control over your emotions, then try this experiment. For the next 5 seconds, I want you to be really, really angry. Start. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're smiling. I ask you to be really, really angry. It just demonstrates. Yes, we do affect our emotions indirectly, but not directly. For anger is part of our emotional reality. Forgiveness also is part of our emotional reality. So let's first start by acknowledging the fact that if somebody has hurt you, you can't just decide, okay, I'm going to forgive them. What does that mean? Somebody hurt you, and you say, I decide to forgive them, does that do anything? It doesn't do a thing. That's not forgiveness. That's an empty concept. What does it mean to forgive? And just to summarize some of what we discussed in the meditation session, we said we discover forgiveness. It arises naturally. How is forgiveness discovered? How does it arise? Forgiveness takes place when you drop the blame. Blame is the obstacle to forgiveness. As long as you blame someone, then you won't forgive. If I tell you, you should forgive so-and-so who hurt you, you should forgive them, and you say, Swamiji, how can I forgive them? Look what they did to me. Which means you continue to blame them. And as long as you blame them, there can be no forgiveness. Forgiveness and blame are opposites here. As long as there's blame, there is no forgiveness. As long as there's no forgiveness, there can be anger or hurt or any number of responses. But now, how can you stop blaming someone? And here's where we need some Vedanta. Enough Vedanta to understand human behavior for what it is. And we'll go through this briefly. We did this also in a meditation session. I like to use Pujya Swami Dayananda's example of holding a one-year-old or two-year-old who is really agitated, who is having a temper tantrum, throwing his hands around wildly, and his two-year-old smacks you in the face really hard. Hard enough to make your eyes water. All right. Do you blame the kid? Do you say, why did you do that? You don't blame this one-year-old or two-year-old. Why? You understand that's what two-year-olds do. The two-year-old is not in complete control of their behavior. So as we joked in the meditation session, your face was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you got smacked. It happens. Getting smacked happens. This is a universal truth, and it's a metaphor. You get it, right? Getting smacked happens, which means getting hurt happens. Getting hurt by others is inevitable in life. Now comes the challenging part, because that two-year-old hurt you, they were a little bit out of control, but you're thinking about your family member or neighbor or somebody else who did something very hurtful, and you say, they're not a two-year-old, they're a grown adult. Why could they hurt me like this? And to answer that, we have to really understand human nature. The best way to understand is to reflect on a time that you hurt someone. Because you have. We all have. We've all made mistakes in which we've caused harm to somebody else. We've hurt them. When you hurt that other person, was it a really deliberate act? Like, okay, I'm really going to hurt that person now. Did you figure it out? How can I hurt that person? What can I do to hurt that person? I doubted very much that you schemed and plotted about how you could hurt that person. Chances are it was some unusual situation, a very stressful situation, a situation where your emotions were really stirred up, the situation was really complex and stressful, and in the midst of this stressful, chaotic, turbulent situation, you went a little bit out of control and you said or did something hurtful. You went a little bit out of control. In an argument, isn't that what happens? We get a little bit angry, a little bit irritated, a little bit irritated, and then finally the irritation crosses that threshold. We talked about that threshold several weeks ago. The irritation crosses a threshold and something comes out of our mouths that we didn't decide to say. It just comes out. If that hurtful word just comes out, That's evidence that we're not completely in control at that moment, just like that two-year-old was not completely in control at that moment. If the two-year-old was not in complete control and therefore is blameless, then you, who are not completely in control, are similarly blameless. And in the same way, the person who hurt you was momentarily out of control. They were overwhelmed by some situation, by some forces, and being overwhelmed by the situation, by those forces, whether you know those forces or not, it doesn't make any difference. But when people get overwhelmed by a situation, they can do the wrong thing. We can be led to make a mistake. When the mistake is made, somebody gets hurt. But if that hurt was caused because of being overwhelmed by the situation, because of going momentarily out of control, then just like the child is blameless and you were blameless, that person too is blameless. This is understanding. Pujya Swami Dayananda called this understanding of Ishvara's order. Ishvara's order means it's a beautiful way of talking about the way the world works, the way God created the world. God created you and me with emotions. Those emotions are wonderful most of the time. Occasionally, those emotions lead us to get overwhelmed and lead us to make mistakes. That's the way we're made. And not just the way you and I are made, but every single human being. We are all capable of mistakes. That is Ishvara's order. And who are we to say it shouldn't be like that? This is Ishvara's order. This is how God created the world. Suppose we really, really get it. God created two-year-olds in the manner where they go a little out of control and they can smack you in the face. God created you in such a way where you are capable of making mistakes and hurting others. And God created the other person too, the person who hurt you. God created, Ishvara created in such a way where that person also is capable of making a mistake, going out of control, and cause that hurt to you. This is Ishvara's order. By understanding Ishvara's order, by accepting Ishvara's order, blame goes away. You don't blame the two-year-old. You don't blame yourself, I hope. And you don't blame that person who hurt you. We can drop that blame through understanding. And that's what Kashyapa says here. Yaha vijanati. Yaha tam eva vijanati. One who understands forgiveness. Saha sarvam kshantum arhati. That person is able to forgive everything. If you completely understand Ishvara's order, you can understand anything and everything. But it takes a very deep and complete understanding of Ishvara's order to accomplish that. But you can. You absolutely can. We'll come back to that point in two more verses. Let's continue. Kshama tejasvinam tejaha, kshama tejasvinam tejaha, kshama brahmatapasvinam, kshama brahmatapasvinam, kshama satyam satyavatam, kshama satyam satyavatam, kshama dhanam kshama yashaha, kshama dhanam kshama. This verse is stuti. Stuti means praise. Having just taught something very important, an important teaching is almost always followed by praise in the scripture. So after an important teaching comes at least one verse of stuti, one verse of praise. Here, Kashyapa, having said that if you understand Ishvara's order completely, you can forgive anything. Having taught that, he now praises Kshama, forgiveness. He says, Kshama, forgiveness, is Tejasvinam Tejaha. It is the Tejas, the brilliance, Tejasvinam, of the brilliant. This is poetic. You don't be very literal here. You won't get any nice meaning. So let me just translate it for you very poetically. Forgiveness is the Tejasvinam Tejaha. It is the brilliance of the brilliant. It is Brahma Tapasvinam. For those who undertake penance for the sake of reaching God, Kshama is that God. Which means Kshama is that which you reach through the practice of tapas. So it is Brahma Tapasvinam. It is the goal for those who practice austerities. Kshama Satyam Satyavatam. Satyavatam, for those who practice truthfulness. Kshama is that truthfulness. It is the goal. It is the highest spiritual practice. Kshama Danam. Kshama is charity. Kshama Yashaha. Kshama is glory. Forgiveness is glory. Kshama is the point of this stuti is it is the best of values. It is the highest of values. It is the best of spiritual practices. So here is that one verse of praise. Now he comes back to the same spiritual teaching. Kshantavyam heva satatam, kshantavyam heva purushena vijanata, purushena vijanata, yada hi kshamate sarvam, yada hi kshamate, brahma sampadyate tara, brahma sampadyate tara. Kshantavyam eva satatam. Kshantavyam eva. Everything is to be forgiven. Satatam, always. Always everything is to be forgiven. We discussed before. What is the value of anger? Forgiveness means dropping that anger. Anger never helps you. Anger only hurts you. So therefore, kshama is the ultimate value here. Kshantavyam eva satatam, you should always forgive. We discussed this 2 weeks ago. Please remember, forgiveness does not mean passivity. Did he ever say you should be passive? Did he ever say if somebody hurts you, you should let them hurt you again and again and again? Did he say that? He didn't say that. He merely said, you shouldn't be angry. Don't be angry, but get out of the way. If I'm holding that two-year-old and the two-year-old smacks me, I'm going to give the two-year-old back to his mother. I'm not going to allow that baby to hit me again. In the same way, if somebody hurts you, don't let them hurt you a second time. Get out of the way. This is... Kshama is not passivity. Kshama means, kshama literally forgiveness. Forgiveness is not passivity. Forgiveness is dropping the blame and anger. So if somebody hurts you, drop the blame and anger and then get out of the way so they can't hurt you again. So be very clear. This is not a plea for passivity at all, but merely a statement of fact that is anger only hurts you, therefore drop the blame and anger, and that is kshama, forgiveness. Kshantavyam eva satatam, everything should be forgiven, purushena, by a person. By what kind of person? Vijanata, by a wise person. And there are two levels of this wisdom. He says, a wise person will always forgive. Now that wisdom is at two levels. We just talked about one level. We said, when you completely understand Ishvara's order, When you understand the inevitability of getting hurt. Can I say that again? When you understand the inevitability of getting hurt in life. Does anyone get through life without getting hurt? Without getting a few bumps? Even without getting big bumps? No one gets through life without getting bumped. So therefore, one who truly understands Ishvara's order, one who understands the inevitability of getting hurt in life, with that wisdom, with that understanding, you become forgiving. That's one level. And as profound as that it sounds, that's actually the lower level. Wow. That's the lower level of understanding, the lower level of wisdom, is to understand Ishvara's order, to understand the inevitability of getting hurt. What is the higher level? According to the teachings of Vedanta, your true nature is Satchidananda Atma, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness can't get hurt. Your body is subject to injury. But you're not your body. Your mind is subject to injury. Your emotions are subject to injury. But you're not your mind either. You are this pure consciousness, utterly independent of your body and mind. That consciousness is impervious, doesn't get hurt by anything. That's the higher understanding. The lower understanding is understanding Ishvara's order, understanding the inevitability of hurt in life. With that understanding, you are forgiving. The higher understanding is knowing that no one can hurt you. No one can injure pure consciousness, Satchidananda Atma. Which is why he says in the second line, this is exactly his point, Yadahi Kshamate Sarvam, when you can forgive everything under all circumstances, knowing that nothing can hurt you. With that higher knowledge, knowing that nothing can hurt you, then kshamate sarvam yada, when you can forgive anything under all circumstances, tada, then brahma sampadyate, then you reach Brahman. You reach reality, you reach God, you reach the highest goal of spiritual life through that second understanding, the higher of the two understanding. And then he concludes. He, meaning Kashyapa, concludes his gatha, his story, with this next verse. Yesham manyur manushyanam, yesham manyur manushya, kshamaya nihata sada, kshamaya nihata sada, tesham paratare lokas, tesham paratare tasmat kshanti paramata, tasmat kshanti paramata. Yesham manushyanam, for all people, for people who, manyuhu nihataha, for people for whom, manyu, again, anger, right? Krodha is a common word for anger, manyu also means anger. So for people for whom, manyuhu, anger is nihataha, overcome. Public enemy number two is overcome. Overcome by what? Kshamaya. By kshama, by forgiveness. For those who have overcome anger through forgiveness, and what did we say? Forgiveness arises due to understanding of Ishvara's order. By understanding Ishvara's order, we drop that blame. We can be accepting. And anger goes away. Anger is nihataha, it is conquered. Sada nihataha, for people for whom anger is sada always, nihataha, conquered. Kshamaya, by kshama, by forgiveness. Tesham, for them, for those people who have conquered anger, what about them? Paratare lokaha. They reach the highest of the worlds. They reach the highest goal of life. Tasmat, therefore, kshantihi. Kshanti is a synonym for kshama. They both mean forgiveness. Kshama means forgiveness. Kshantihi means forgiveness. Therefore, kshantihi, forgiveness, paramata, is considered supreme, is considered the highest value. And with those words, Kashyapa concludes his gatha. And we have just one last verse uttered by Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira uvacha, Yudhishthira iti gita kashyapena, iti gita kashyapena, gatha nityam kshamavatam, gatha nityam kshama, shrutva gatha kshamayastvam, shrutva gatha kshamayastvam, tushya draupadi makrudaha, tushya draupadi makrudaha. Iti, thus, this gitaha gataha, this gataha, these stories, gitaha, are told or were told kashyapena by that rishi Kashyapa, and these stories about what? Kshamavatam, about forgiveness. Thus, these stories about forgiveness were nityam gitaha, they were always told by this particular sage, Kashyapa. And remember the context, and this is Yudhishthira addressing Draupadi. Draupadi is seething with anger. And so in that context, Yudhishthira has just shared with Draupadi these teachings of Kashyapa. And so Yudhishthira concludes, Shrutva gataha, and you see Draupadi in the second line, O Draupadi, Shrutva gataha, having listened to these stories, kshamayaha, about forgiveness. O Draupadi, having listened to these stories about forgiveness, Tvam tushya. Tvam, you, tushya. Be content. If Yudhishthira spoke modern American English, he would say, oh, Draupadi, chill. Tvam tushya. Chill. Oh, Draupadi, be content. Ma krudaha. Don't be angry. But notice, he says, very important point, we'll conclude our class with this point. When you just tell someone, don't be angry, they get more angry. But notice, that's not exactly what Yudhishthira is doing. First, he taught Draupadi how to let go of anger. So if you just tell someone, don't be angry, how? You haven't helped them overcome their anger. But here, for an entire chapter, Yudhishthira has told Draupadi how to let go of that blame, how to let go of the anger through understanding Ishvara's order. And having taught Draupadi thus, then he can say, Ma krudaha, don't be angry. Okay, so with this we end the current segment. When we meet next time, we have a really fascinating discussion. It's actually an argument between Draupadi and Yudhishthira about fate versus effort. What counts in life? Is fate more important, or is your effort more important? It's a fascinating discussion, and it comes out almost as an argument. We'll see that in the next class. A couple of announcements. Tomorrow is the fifth Sunday of the month, so we don't have the teenager program or children's program. Also, let me remind you, Vasanti is in India for a couple of weeks, so her mindful awareness meditation and her Sadhaka Sangha programs, those programs are on hiatus. I'll let you know when they resume. So tomorrow there will not be the usual 5 o'clock meditation. I'll come for satsang at 6:15. We'll have a question-answer session tomorrow evening, 6:15. The library will be open after class. We'll conclude with our prayers.